blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Welcome to Live Well with Cantwell. Stay tuned for a different slant on local to global issues that are impacting your life. Here now is Pauline Cantwell.
Welcome. This is the Live Well with Cantwell show, and I'm Pauline Cantwell, an Old Greenwich resident. And we have our good friend Rosalind Peterson from California Agriculture Defense Coalition with us again this morning. Rosalind, are you on the air?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Thank you for getting up early again, 3 hours earlier than we are here. And thank you for being with us again. As I mentioned last week, Rosalind has pretty much moved in the position of co-host with me because we've worked together for 5 years on issues of environment and military issues, the Navy plan to take control of all of our coastal waters, and the cap-and-trade issues. So Rosalind is going to be talking about, let me see here, you said you want to talk about genetically modified foods.
Yes.
And the Blackwater connection to Monsanto today. And so I have a couple of things I want to talk about. The two stories that led the news this week from the Greenwich Post front page this last week was flooding takes center stage. And that was an article about Jim Himes trying to get $200,000 funding to bring the Army Corps of Engineers to study flooding problems of the Byram River. And so I'll link that with another story about blocking the jet stream and how that creates flooding and it could possibly be a reason for this increase in torrential rains that we're seeing all over the world. And then the big story last week, and I'm going to talk about the retro week, September 12th through 18th, and that's an article, a little section of the Greenwich Times on Sunday, September 29th. And the newsmaker of the week was Barack Obama, because he was in town for a fundraiser. He actually appeared at the Stanford Marriott on Thursday, September 16th. And then I'm going to quote from this article. It says, for the price of a low-end Mercedes in a Maybach kind of town, a small but influential group of Democrats gained admission Thursday night to President Barack Obama's, quote, Greenwich Supper Club. It was really at a private house. And it says he was visiting the state's wealthiest town for the first time as president, and he hauled in $1 million at a $30,400 a plate fundraiser for the Democratic National Committee at the Conyers Farm Estate. So that's politics in Greenwich. And he thanked about 50 boosters for sticking by him as president. My husband's an accountant. He did the math. He said, that'd be $1.5 million. So obviously some people weren't paying $30,400 a plate. So, Rosalind, do you want to go first on your information about the genetically modified foods?
Yes,
and the Blackwater connection, and then I want to come back to what was happening here in the lead-up to Obama's visit and then the strange weather occurrences that we had. Actually, exactly during the visit, we had torrential rain, and there was a storm that just cut a swath through Staten Island, Queens, and Brooklyn. Devastating storm. So why don't you go ahead with your research on the genetically modified foods, because I know a lot of people are very concerned about feeding these foods to their children and the health impacts from it.
Thank you. Yes, what I wanted to speak about today is Monsanto and other seed companies and how they are challenging farmers, ranchers in Germany and Canada, and here in the United States as well as other countries, the genetically modified seed companies want to be able to have people only use their seeds. They want the money from them because it means great corporate wealth, and they can limit the amount of food that we have with those seeds. They can limit the type of food, the quality of food, the taste, everything. And they can clearly make sure that you cannot use their seeds unless you use their herbicides, pesticides, insecticides, and fertilizers. So they want a worldwide monopoly. And I want to bring to your attention that a recent article by Jeremy Scahill noted that over the past several years, entities closely linked to the private security firm Blackwater have provided intelligence training and security services to U.S. foreign governments, as well as several multinational corporations, including Monsanto. And this idea that, in other words, the Monsanto Corporation has to hire Blackwater, who is attached to the CIA and black operations and military training, fits in exactly with a case that was recently talked about on the Amy Goodman show with regard to Percy Schmeissmer, who had an on-running battle with Monsanto for several years. His farm was contaminated. He didn't purchase this genetically modified crop, but his farmland was contaminated with this crop. And what happened is that Monsanto sued him, challenged his family, and they had to go all the way to the Canadian Supreme Court on this issue. And Monsanto watched their family. They sat outside their farmhouse. They tried to take over their land. It was an awful case, and you can see this on going to Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. It just aired on September 21st. But, however, in the United States, this is happening to the ranchers and the farmers across the United States who would not voluntarily, for the most part, use some of the genetically modified crops. But their land is being contaminated, and then these big chemical and seed corporations are suing them, threatening to put them out of business unless they agree to use these genetically modified seeds and crops. It is awful what is happening, and many ranchers and farmers all over are beginning to rebel, but they're being picked off one by one because of the financial clout of Monsanto, having millions and millions of dollars to go to court to act as an enforcer, prevent farmers and ranchers from using anything but genetically modified foods. So we have to take this into consideration and know that this is a disaster because not only do these genetically modified foods, they may not taste as good, they may not be as nutritious, they have long-term effects on honeybees and pollinators. There's all kinds of issues involved in this. And the other thing is that no company should have the right to control all of our seeds and to say that we can only use those which they provide and have them all genetically modified, because our climate and our weather changes all the time, but the microclimates that we depend on for crop production don't always take well to having one type of seed. And in many areas of the world, as well as in the United States, certain seeds over time have taken on a characteristic to live within a certain microclimate, and thus the food production is high there, because the seeds fit in with the seasonal growing cycles. So we have to understand that we cannot allow these major corporations to begin to patent all seeds, take them over, and then on top of that, hire companies like Blackwater as enforcers for their company policies. This is a disastrous turn of events for all of us, and we need to be aware that this is happening and that our ranchers and farmers can't stand up alone as they're singled out individually, but we're going to have to, in other words, fight for them and their right to plant whatever crops that they want and the seeds, and that genetically modified seeds might not be in our best interest, either health-wise or for seasonal growing. So I hope everyone will look into this issue. You can find more information on my website, the Agricultural Defense Coalition, under the sitemap section, Agriculture, and this information will be there for your interest and for further pursuit on these issues. Thank you very much, and I'm going to turn you back to Pauline.
Thanks, Roslyn. Roslyn was a former agriculture inspector in California, and so she is an expert on agriculture issues, and I came across her work on the Internet dealing with the clouds, the jet contrails, and she had given names to all these unusual cloud formations that that we were seeing. And I've been concerned about the genetically modified crops for a long time. When my husband and I were in Thailand years ago, there was a newspaper article that they were boycotting Gerber baby foods, and they wouldn't allow them to be sold in Thailand because they had genetically modified crops in them. And I've been concerned because I work at the UN, and I know a lot of people from third world countries are very concerned. Africa wouldn't take our corn unless it was ground up because they didn't want the genetically modified corn entering into their crop cycles. And I'm also concerned about the seed bank. And Roslyn, do you know about that? That's under the Antarctic, I believe, but they're collecting all the seeds around the world and, you know, the indigenous seeds and things. And that concerns me, you know, but I don't know what the purpose of it is, but it seems like we're seeing the soil being altered, the climate being altered, so that only the genetically modified crops will be able to survive. And like you say, having a few companies in charge of the world's food supply is a very dangerous situation.
Well, it's very dangerous, too, because it means that if any pest or anything threatens the genetically modified seeds, we won't have any seeds other than the ones provided by these companies to counteract these problems. And a lot of weeds now are becoming genetically resistant to herbicide and pesticide because through pollination and other processes, they are being changed to be more problematic to many farmers and ranchers here in the United States as well. So this is becoming a disaster because we're making changes in ways that we don't understand that may negatively impact us in the future, as far as just having weeds that are resistant to any type, getting rid of them. So these are serious issues that we need to take into consideration in the future.
Yeah, I know one of the seeds they have is they can be planted after Roundup has been sprayed on ground, and those of us that deal with pesticides know that, or herbicides, know that Roundup kills everything, but they have seeds that you can plant immediately after using Roundup, and they're resistant to it. So, and they have seeds, I think, I'm not an agriculture person, but I think they have their own pesticides and things built into them, and then that just creates stronger plants and stronger weeds and stronger pests and everything. So that is one issue that we're trying to bring issues to you, so the listening audience, so you can make choices for your family. And I think refusing to buy these products is a very good choice, but I know most of our corn, most of our soy, some of these products are all genetically modified now. So thank you, Roslyn.
Thank you.
For that. And now I want to get back to the story of Obama's appearance here in Greenwich last week. Monday, I went over to a friend's house a week ago Monday. We were sitting out in her yard, and all of a sudden, there were military jets flying over. I mean, not once, but circling around, and there were four. They were a formation of four military fighter jets, and then military helicopters. And so we kind of thought it was some kind of exercise in preparation for Obama coming. I've lived here for 22 years. I've never seen military fighter jets going over Greenwich. Maybe they have. But my friend Elena said she's never seen it. Her daughter went on TV and they said they were going to do some kind of flyover of an event in Queens. But they actually circled Greenwich for quite a while, made a lot of noise. And then we had this strange storm blow in exactly the time that Obama was here. They were saying, you know, I was listening to the radio, and they were saying there's going to be some problem with traffic and everything. And we actually had put sprinklers in the backyard because our yard had turned pretty brown, and they've been saying not to water. But we decided we were just going to put some water on the yard that day. And then this rain came, I mean torrential rainstorm. And it didn't last for too long, but it did create a lot of rain because it collected, you know, in some containers I have out in the yard. And that's the first significant rain we've had in a long time. But it really, really blew through three of the boroughs in New York. And I want to refer to an article in the Saturday New York Times, September 18th, this week. And The title was, After Fast, Potent Storm, Cleanup Quickly Begins. But I'm quoting here. It says, from the air, some neighborhoods in Brooklyn and Queens look like Lego masterpieces that angry children had done their best to sweep aside. And they said that the storm included two tornadoes, killed one woman, and tore across Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island. It didn't hit the Bronx, and it didn't hit Manhattan. An unusual part about it was that there was no discernible swath of destruction. You'd think that it would just lay out the city. No borough-to-borough corridor tracing its path. But the storm did its damage with, and this language scares me, almost surgical precision. And that's what we say when we bomb. We say we bomb with surgical precision. So that term rather frightens me. And the article said it was frightening and fast, turning daylight to darkness and calm to chaos in just a minute or two. And it skipped across New York Harbor from Staten Island and then hopscotched through Brooklyn and Queens. It shut down the airport for hours, and I don't know how long. It turned everything an algae green light. And I was talking to my friend Jeff Brady, who is an independent producer for Pacifica Network, and he said he was bicycling. And I said, in Texas, when we saw the sky turn green, we got a car in the garage because we knew hail was coming. And he said, it did hail. I said, oh, wow, we had hail, we had wind, we had two tornadoes in this storm. One reached 80 miles an hour in Park Slope, and a second one reached 100 miles an hour in Flushing, as well as a microburst in Middle Village and Forest Hills, Queens, that generated winds up to 125 miles an hour. Now, a microburst is when you take a tall cloud and you topple the top down, and it creates this wind burst on the ground. And one lady that lived there said the whole thing lasted just 4 or 5 minutes, and then you walked outside and it was a different neighborhood altogether. And the city's parks commissioner said that they had gotten 3,000 calls about fallen or damaged trees in Queens, 600 in Brooklyn, and 160 in Staten Island. And that's with a 4 or 5 minute storm. And not included in that count were trees that came down in parks. And then another article in that same Saturday New York Times said the city mourns the trees toppled by tornadoes. And I personally mourn trees because I grew up in West Texas and we didn't have trees. They called it Big Sky Country because we didn't have hills and we didn't have trees. We had sky coming to the horizon. And so every time I see a storm like we had here in March in Greenwich, it breaks my heart to see these trees just torn apart. And took my son 5 hours to get home to Garden City, what should be a 30-minute trip that night, and he had to walk the last 2 miles because the Long Island Railroad was out. And the city's park commissioner estimated that as many as 2,000 of the city's 650,000 street trees had been killed, or else so crippled they'd have to be cut down. And then this article noted that a freak storm in August of last year toppled about 300 trees in Central Park. And Jeff Brady actually sent me pictures of that. I didn't get down to Central Park, but it was as if they were shredded by shrapnel. I've never seen anything like that. So anyway, the park commissioner said, quote, "It's hard to compare to previous storms, but given the brevity of the storm, the extent of the damage seems unparalleled." So what I have a habit of cutting out the weather report from the Greenwich paper every day, and I've been doing that for over a year. I had a friend do it while I was in Florida this winter. And an unusual thing about the weather report was that there were two distinct jet streams on the map on Friday. There was one going across Canada, and there was one going across the United States. And Roz and I have talked about this before. And Rosalyn, you've said that you've noticed this recently, the two jet streams, and that this is new. Is that right?
Yes, it is. The weather reports now will show two jet streams. The Weather Channel is noted for this at various times. And it's an oddity because never before have they been showing that there are two separate jet streams with two separate weather patterns going across the United States.
So anyway, I've done research on weather warfare for quite a few years, and I know that the Russians made advances in bending the jet stream decades ago. But I think this is new. However, in talking to Jeff Brady, he has posted on his website an article about the flooding in Pakistan and the heat wave in Russia, and that there were two jet streams there. And let me pull up this. His website is NewYorkSkyWatch.com, and he's got a posting August 30th, 2010. And he says on that posting, although the U.S. has been leading flood relief efforts in Pakistan, where nearly 20 million people have been affected by the worst floods in 80 years. This went on for about 7 weeks, this flooding. The Pakistani media continue to publish anti-U.S. conspiracy theories regarding the floods. So I hadn't heard anything about this, so I did some Googling around. But then he goes on his website, and he says on August 6, 2010, a Pakistani website released a report titled, quote, "Pakistan Flood, HARP Used in Pakistan, Urgent, end of quote, accusing the CIA and its alleged use of the High-Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, HARP, the Alaska-based U.S. Air Force program to artificially cause the flooding. And then he questions, he says, remember in 2008, a weather front flowing from west to east suddenly stopped, flooding parts of Iowa. And he says, please check out the satellite images over Des Moines, Iowa, June 9th, 2008. And then he questions, how does this connect to the Russian heat wave? And here's an excerpt from the article, Rivers of Water in Our Atmosphere. And he said, one part of the jet stream sits over Russia, heating up the atmosphere and making it so dry that it caused uncontrollable large fires. And then the other one was over Pakistan, and because it's monsoon season, it caused this torrential monsoon season there. And so then he questions, if you had weather weapons to retaliate, what would you do? So could this storm we saw in New York be a retaliation? I don't know. Could it be a part of our government's experimenting with our weather programs in owning the weather in 2025, a massive document by the U.S. Air Force released a few years ago? They state the weather will become a part of domestic and international security. So these are the things that I want you to start looking at the weather report in our paper, maybe cutting it out if you have space to keep it. I file them, you know, by the day. And I will say by Sunday that front across Canada had moved, and then it was kind of a diagonal front out over the Pacific Ocean. It was just kind of a little, it no longer went all the way across Canada. But they can dam up. They learned there are rivers of water in the atmosphere. They learned they could dam them up just like they dam up a river and then cause rain to fall for 40 days, 40 nights, biblical rainstorms. And I think that if you're interested in these topics, there are some books, Jerry Smith's Weather Warfare, and definitely the Air Force paper, Owning the Weather in 2025. I would recommend looking at those. And than Rosalie Bertell's 2000 book, Planet Earth, The Latest Weapon of War. And this is a critical study of military and the environment. And she actually represented us at Bhopal. And she makes connections of peaceful uses of military technology, like chlorine, came from the military chemical program. And so she says that the companies don't make that much money making military products, but then they go into commercial products. And she cites the peaceful nuclear medicine, and then even links this genetically modified food and stuff. So, Rosalind, did you want to talk anything about these bills that we were talking about last week, the Livable Communities Act? We just have a couple of minutes. I don't think there's been any movement on the climate change bill or anything like that, but next week we'll be back and we'll be talking about those bills, and I hope to be talking about the germ warfare. I'm just finishing up a new book from the Greenwich Library, Germs Gone Wild, How the Unchecked Development of Domestic Biodefense Threatens America. And we want to do a program on actually the health issues next week. Rosalyn?
Well, I don't have any news to report right now, so I'll put the show back to you.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank people for listening in today. And I will tell some other things on this blocking of the jet stream. I have some other articles. There's the Digital Journal, August 12, 2010, and they say the title of that was A Single Stuck Weather Pattern Affects Russia and Pakistan. And they said information from meteorologists indicates a block of the northern hemisphere jet stream has created destructive weather patterns over both Russia and Pakistan. And this is causing the murderous drought in Russia and unprecedented floods in Pakistan. It says the jet stream jam is bringing dry, hot air up from Africa to Russia and has left the monsoon parked over Pakistan. And the size of the area affected is an indication of the size of the weather pattern. It's also blamed for the severe conditions we had here in U.S., Canada, and Europe in early July of this year. So thank you for listening. And join with us next week as we start looking at the biodefense labs and the germs. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Live Well with Cantwell. We hope this show will have inspired you to get involved with the issues. Let's make this world a cleaner, brighter place for us and our children. Let's get our blue skies back.
Nothing but blue skies from now on.
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 14. 14-